Hello, welcome to the first postseason episode of MotoGP OD. Today is Friday, November 11th, 2005. I am Bob Hayes, your host, and we've got some interesting stuff today, even though the season is over and we're not going to have any MotoGP races for quite a while. But we do have a cool list of possible books and DVDs that you might want to take a look at, just in case you're jonesing real bad for some MotoGP action during the winter. And we've also got a story about the first official winter test session, which ran at Valencia this past week. And then we've got a few other news items that kind of turned up during this past week as well. But before we start with all that, I'd first of all like to give a big thank you to Bill Sands for his donation to the MotoGP OD New Equipment Fund. I've got my eye on a really cool mixer so that I don't have to use a crummy computer microphone when this mixer that I'm currently using needs to go back to its rightful owner. And Bill's donation pretty much put me over the top on that, so that's kind of cool. And next step, new microphone, right? In any case, thank you very much, Bill. That was very much appreciated. And also, we've got Josh Cern's 65 Roses fundraising auction. This went up on eBay on Thursday evening. You can get there from the team65.net website. You can go straight to eBay and search for Cystic Fibrosis Fundraiser. And plus, I'm going to post a link on the MotoGP OD website to this auction, so you'll be able to take a look at it. If you'll remember, Josh is a 7-year-old racer who gathered well over 80 really cool autographs of all these top racers. You know, Valentino Rossi's on there, Loris Capirossi, Michael Jordan, because he owns a superbike team, Nicky Hayden, all these names in motorcycle racing, in both road racing and motocross and superbike, or supercross, that kind of thing. So he's got all kinds of good stuff. And he put this all on a really cool picture of himself where he's doing his supermoto racing, and he's going to auction that puppy off and donate the money to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. Josh himself has cystic fibrosis, but it really doesn't slow him down at all because he took the championship in his class of supermoto. So congratulations to Josh for that. And MotoGP OD was lucky enough to interview Josh a few episodes ago, which was in episode number 28 from the 24th of October, 2005. You can find that on the MotoGP OD website if you missed it previously. Encourage you to listen to it. It was a good show. Josh made a good interview. And you might notice a slight difference in iTunes or whatever program that you might be using to kind of automatically download new episodes. And the technical details of this are that I changed the source RSS feed, but, you know, don't worry about all that. The main public feed is the same. All the instructions for that kind of thing are on the MotoGP OD website. And all the episodes are, of course, on the MotoGP OD website. And the reason I did this was to take advantage of some of the cooler features in iTunes. But the downside is that it might possibly break the history of the shows that you've listened to. So, you know, you may have shows that you've already listened to that are going to show up as new. Sorry about that. It should fix itself real quick. Email me if it becomes a real big problem or something, and I'll send you instructions on how to fix it just as soon as I figure it out myself. But I think it'll go pretty well. But you may notice that some shows that you've already listened to will show up as new. All right, no more introductory stuff. Let's just get on with it. All right, here's a little item that showed up in the news. Team KR is going to get Honda V5 engines to use next year in their existing chassis. They'll probably have to make a few modifications, but they're probably not going to be redesigning the entire chassis. They'll be able to shoehorn that V5 in there and do pretty well. Chuck Axland, the manager of Team KR, said, "Honda have engines available to us, and we're working on the design of the motorcycle now to incorporate them into our chassis. We are also working on securing the budget, but it's too early to confirm our lineup." We've heard before that Kenny Roberts Jr. is likely to join his father's team now that Suzuki has released him, but like Chuck said, that has not yet been confirmed. Axland added, "Kenny Jr. would be high on the list as a rider, but it is too early at this stage to confirm his participation." So we'll have to see on that one where if Kenny Roberts Jr. shows up. Curtis Roberts actually rode the bike at Valencia with the old Proton V5 engine. So, but whatever, next year with that competitive engine and everything, they should be able to do pretty well. We'll hope. You know, the Moriwaki, similar sort of circumstance, using a Honda engine and a kind of a trick frame and everything, and they didn't do all that well, but they weren't racing every race, and I think that makes a big difference. So we'll see how Team KR does next year. I really hope they do. Kenny Roberts Jr. actually rode for Team KR from 1996 to 98. In 96, the team was using Yamaha motorcycles, and in 97 and 98, he rode the Modenas KR3, which was kind of a trick little item. So we'll have to wait and see how things turn out on that. Ferrari said on Thursday that Valentino Rossi was halfway through a three-day test session, putting in laps behind the wheel of a Ferrari F2004 Formula One car, which Ferrari must have decided to use the F2004 because the F2005 sucks like an Electrolux, so they probably wanted him to be able to get some decent lap times in. You'll remember that Rossi has tested for Ferrari before, and that rumors are just running rampant about him switching to four-wheeled racing, possibly as soon as 2007. Rossi spent Wednesday testing at Ferrari's Fiorano test track, and then he moved to Mugello for Thursday and Friday. I really hope they release some of these times from Mugello, because this is a track that Rossi knows really well, and it'd be kind of interesting to see how well he can do in a Formula One car on a track that he knows so well from having, you know, won there many times on a motorcycle. Rumors are running around in August. They were running around in August that Rossi's actual times at the Fiorano test track were quite a bit faster than what was officially reported. Michael Schumacher's record there at Fiorano is 55.9 seconds. It's quite a short track. And supposedly, just this past Wednesday, according to the press releases, Rossi improved his time to around 58 seconds. Around 58 seconds. But in August, there was unconfirmed reports that Rossi was only about a second and a half off of Schumacher's record, which would put him quite a bit faster than 58 seconds already. So who knows? You know, someone's lying somewhere. In any event, Rossi said that he's going to do more testing. He's always been saying that, so this shouldn't be too big of a surprise for us. He's also racing in the Monza rally at the end of this month in a, I believe it's a Subaru. This guy likes racing anything fast, and I think it's also pretty clear that he wants to be a multi-series champion, you know, showing he can do it on two wheels as well as on four. And time will just have to tell about that, I guess. Alert and extremely helpful MotoGPOD listener Colin Baxter sent me a really cool item here that I'm going to basically read to you. This is his reviews of some books and DVDs that you might want to check out to help you get through the long off-season. And of course, there's also always MotoGPOD to help you get through that long off-season, but that's only once a week on Fridays, don't forget. So this is, you know, pretty much Colin's writing. I edited it a little tiny bit and, you know, maybe put in a few comments here and there myself if I think about it, but otherwise this is Colin, so although I'll be reading it. Okay, Colin writes, November 7th marks the end of the MotoGP race season and is the start of the four-month drought until March 26, 2006 for the season opener in Jerez. You dread it, and I dread it, so let's try to ease the pain with a MotoGP survival kit to help you going through the reruns over Christmas and New Year. For November's Long Nights, a book for the bedside table, read Wayne Rainey's biography, His Own Story, by the one and only Michael Scott. In September 1993, whilst leading the 500 GP Championship, Wayne Rainey crashed at Misano and severed his spinal cord, leaving him paralyzed for life. In the golden age of U.S. domination in 500 GP, the 1990s produced what seemed an almost infallible motorcycle racer. Wayne never seemed to crash and was perfect at his craft. As a young man, I admired his determination and perfect record. The book reveals Wayne as a private but deeply focused and determined sportsman that never settled for second. This determination became Wayne's daily battle to persevere for perfection at all costs. The book includes comments and interviews with Kenny Roberts Sr., Kevin Schwantz, and Eddie Lawson, as well as in-depth first-hand accounts from Wayne himself. I could go on and on. This book will give you an insight into the racing scene of the time, as well as the personal struggles of a perfectionist and how he overcame a tragic near-death experience. If you're a quick reader, you should next read Carl Fogarty's autobiography called Foggy, and then compare and contrast the two books. I'll say no more. For the December's festivities, you'll need lots of stocking stuffer ideas for goodies from Santa, or Father Christmas, as he's really called. Colin is from England. You've recorded all the races and watched them 10 times already, so now you need new material. Ask for Neil Hodgson's Ride to Win DVD. More than just a season review of the 2003 Superbike Championship, which Hodgson won, by the way, this is an in-depth look of what it takes to be a motorcycle racer, the lives they live, and the rewards they get when they do well. Neil's new house on the Isle of Man happens to be one of those. Each round is detailed, as well as Neil's life, family, trials, and tribulations, along with the eventual elation of winning a world title. Recommended and at least 3 hours long, and it's Region Zero, so it's truly an international viewing DVD. I'm going to interrupt Colin's review here real quick to comment that while the Ride to Win DVD might very well be Region Zero, which is cool, it's also in the PAL format. I could not find an NTSC version anywhere. So if you're in the United States or Japan or any of these other NTSC countries, you probably can watch it on a computer, but chances are you're not going to be able to watch it on your sort of standard set-top DVD player unless you have a dual standard one. So something to think about there for the Ride to Win DVD. All right, back to Colin's article. Sorry about that. I'm sure you'll have all the Motorcycle Race Series season reviews listed on your wish list as well. But if you have trouble finding those season reviews, they're available at Amazon.com and most other online retailers. There's books and DVDs, good stuff for that MotoGP fix in the middle of winter. But you've got all the races recorded anyway, so let's move along. January, the first snow. Well, for most of us anyway, unless you're an Aussie. You realize you haven't got your bike out of the garage for 2 months. The withdrawal symptoms are at their worst, and you need some inspiration to get you through. You need to watch The Long Way Round, starring Ewan McGregor and Charlie Blorman on DVD. No, it has nothing to do with racing, but it does have a lot to do with motorbikes. It's spread over two DVDs. Yes, thank God. This epic adventure tracks Ewan and Charlie's round-the-world adventure on two BMW R1100 GS motorcycles, the hard way, starting in England and going east to finish in New York. You'll feel like getting your bike dirty after watching this DVD. The experiences and people they meet whilst riding a bike around the world make this compelling viewing. February, and things are looking up. There's not much longer to go now, and the end is in sight. You're booking up your track days for 2006, and you're planning the ride-outs with your buddies. You need to read Motorcycle Track Day Handbook by Pat Hahn, Kent Larson, and Jason Bishop. For the beginner and intermediate sports bike rider who are about to start, or have already been attending track days, this book fully prepares both the rider and the machine to hit the racetrack in the best way. It's very U.S.-focused, but it answers all the questions and topics that are common to all track day riders, makes a good reference guide, and it references other well-known guides, such as Keith Code's A Twist of the Wrist. Phew, you've made it through another off-season. Hope you enjoy some of these recommended publications. They've saved me from the off-season blues in the past. March will be just around the corner, and you'll be back on your bike again. Make sure you steer clear of any NASCAR and Formula One reviews, and keep on the straight and narrow. Okay, thank you very much to Colin Baxter for writing that review, or actually, I guess I should say those reviews. I have to admit, I have not read or watched all of the items on this list, so I'm going to be asking Santa for some of this stuff as well. Actually, I'll probably hedge my bets and I'll write one letter to Santa and one to Father Christmas, just in case. And also, I did create an Amazon wish list that you can access through the MotoGPOD website. And no, this isn't me begging you to buy stuff for me. It's just a handy way for me to organize all these items in kind of one place where you click a link and you see the various things so that you can buy them for yourself or perhaps tell your significant other or parents or children or whatever this is what you would like to receive for a gift. And of course, if one of them were to show up on my doorstep, well, you know, that would be kind of cool. In any event, thank you very much, Colin. Appreciate it a lot. All right, let's start talking about some MotoGP action. Winter testing began on Wednesday, November 9th, and at Valencia in cloudy and cold conditions. Lots of riders were trying out new machines as the silly season antics start really truly taking effect as these guys actually move to these teams that we've been talking about for so long. Said Gibernau rode the factory Ducati for the first time, and Danny Pedrosa was on the HRC Repsol Honda, the factory ride. The Honda Pons bikes got tried out by Carlos Checa and Casey Stoner, although it's not yet certain that either or both of them, or either of them, will be on the team next year. Checa ended up hurling his motorcycle into the gravel on the third lap, which is never a very good way to start. He was taken to the hospital for possible chest injuries, but he was later discharged unhurt, which is really good. Stoner, however, seemed to adapt very well to the RC211V, putting in the fourth quickest lap of the day with a 135 flat, only 6/10 off of fast rider Nicky Hayden. Definitely not bad for your first day out on a new bike. I'm not sure if I'm more impressed by his talent or by his balls for pushing it that hard on the first day out on a machine that's just so much more powerful than the 250 he rode this season. For comparison, Danny Pedrosa did a 135.5, putting him 7th fastest. Now, there were rumors that Honda was going to make a special, smaller RC211V for Pedrosa, who, as you know, is just tiny. But that didn't happen. He's riding the regular-sized motorcycle. He spent most of the day working on, you know, getting comfortable with the big motorcycle, and he looked, you know, fine doing it when I watched the video. Talking about Honda Pons again, the Valencia video showed the crew wearing Camel shirts, and there was Camel logos all over the pits and everything, but there's strong rumors running around that Camel will not sponsor that team for next year. The bikes were plain black carbon fiber, but that's not unusual. A lot of the teams were running bikes like that, and in fact, I kind of think they look very cool like that. I think they should just, you know, throw some shiny clear coat on there, or varnish or whatever, and leave it like that, you know, dark, black, and sinister, and seeing the weave and all. Tony Elias rode alongside Marco Melandri on the Fortuna Honda team's RC211Vs. Fortuna Honda is the new name for the Gresini team that up until just last week we called Telefonica Movistar Honda. Now, those bikes were in their new colors, red and yellow, at this test. Interestingly enough, Rossi and Edwards did not test at Valencia, probably Rossi because he's too busy testing a Ferrari. They are scheduled for Sepang at the end of the month. And so far, that team is still Galwa's Yamaha, even though Galwa's and Fortuna are owned by the same parent company, Altadis, which, as you'll remember from the last show, is all bent out of shape at Rossi because Rossi doesn't want to be sponsored by a tobacco company. So I'm kind of really curious to see what's going to eventually happen with that. And then the second Yamaha team that was sponsored by Fortuna this year, you know, what's going to happen to them? I don't see why they can't have the two different brands sponsoring two different manufacturers of motorcycle, but it might not be the most cost-effective way to do it, and there's definitely going to be some weirdness about the way they're linked together and press releases and so forth. James Ellison and Roberto Rolfo rode Team Dantin Premix, the Ducati Desmos Edicis. Dantin's going to field two bikes next year instead of the only one that they did in 2005, using 2006 model client spec Ducatis, whatever client spec means. Hopefully they can get, you know, be a little bit more competitive than they were last year. We'll have to see how much support they get from the factory and how much, you know, client spec means to take it away from a true factory ride. Gibernau and Loris Caporossi were on those factory Ducatis, the true factory ones. Gibernau put in 32 laps on the ride and got the sixth fastest time of the day. While Caporossi was kind of taking it easy, probably due to the weather as much as anything, he put in 17 laps, took the 15th fastest time of the day. Three Suzuki riders were out there, John Hopkins and Christopher Mullen, who are both signed on officially. They're going to be on the team for certain next year, and also test rider Nobuatsu Aoki. Hopkins turned in the third fastest time of the day with a 134.9, while Vermeulen was getting comfortable with his new bike and a new crew, and he turned in a 136.3 for 13th fastest time of the day. On the Kawasaki's, Randy Dupuy's first ride on the Ninja ZXRR was stopped by an engine problem, unfortunately, for Dupuy. Dupuy has been working alongside Olivier Jacques, who was the Kawasaki test rider there, for that two-day session at Valencia. Shinya Nakano did not participate. HRC riders Andrea Dovizioso from the 250cc team and new 125cc world champion Thomas Luthi got a chance to test the RC211V, the bike used by Gibernau last year. But that was probably a lot more of a familiarization thing than anything else, kind of a little reward of get to go out and ride the big boy bike. Both of those riders are staying put in their classes for 2006, and they're not moving up to MotoGP. Some afternoon rain on Wednesday kind of put a stop to a lot of that testing, and Thursday was even worse with a lot more rain. Hayden ended up putting in 46 laps on Thursday, and Ducati test rider Guarishi and then Suzuki rider Christopher Mullen also put a few in, but pretty much everybody else stayed in the box, and most of the teams packed up and left pretty early in the day on Thursday. So now here, well, let's run down real quick the official times from the Wednesday practice. We had a total of 17 times out there. And the official times were first fastest Nicky Hayden on a Honda, 134.4. Second, Marco Melandri, also on a Honda, 134.7. Third, John Hopkins, Suzuki, 134.9. Fourth, Casey Stoner, Honda, 135.0. Fifth, Carlos Checa, Honda, 135.1. Now, oddly, it says here he did 33 laps. I'm not sure if that's a typo or if he came back or what. I couldn't find any reports about that, but I did see that he crashed it on the third lap. Sete Gibernau on the Ducati came in 6th, 135.2. 7th, Daniel Pedrosa on the Honda, 135.5. 8th fastest, Tony Elias, on the Honda, 135.7. 9th, James Ellison on the Ducati, 135.7. 10th, Robert Orfo, Ducati, 135.7. And Nobuatsu Aoki, 11th on the Suzuki, 135.8. Olivier Jacques on a Kawasaki in 12th, 135.9. 13th was Christopher Mullen on his Suzuki, 136.3, 4 tenths behind Jacques. Wow. 14th, Randy Dupuy on the Kawasaki, 136.5. 15th, Loris Caporossi on the Ducati, 136.8. And 16th, Andrea Dovizioso on the Honda, 139.5. And 17th, Thomas Luthi on the Honda, 144.2. Taking it very easy there. Very cautious and careful lap for Thomas Luthi. But he is a very fast learner. So when he starts moving up, it's going to be interesting. Okay, that's the test there at Valencia. They are going to be testing at Sepang at the end of the month. I believe the date is November 29th or so. And I'll have a report on that episode of MotoGPOD. All right, that's going to do it for today. Like I've said, I am going to be doing weekly episodes every Friday, just like I always do, even during the off season. Obviously, there won't be any Monday race reports for a while, but Superbike starts before too long, and we're going to be talking about that, and there's always going to be something to talk about somewhere. Maybe I can get some details about Australian Superbike. I think they're probably running this time of year, which, you know, kind of makes sense, so I'm going to have to look into that. I will miss two or three shows in the first part of December because I'll be off doing my Navy Reserve CB field training thing. And nothing like having to sleep on the ground in the middle of winter for a couple weeks to make you appreciate not having to do it all the time. I really can't wait for that. But after that, I'm going to be getting some good stuff going, including some rider bios, tech stuff, maybe a historical feature too, just whatever interesting stuff turns up that I can find. And of course, any good MotoGP news that comes my way as well. And as always, I welcome any suggestions, comments, submissions, hate mail, whatever. Send it to me at MotoGPOD@MotoGPOD.com. I really always enjoy hearing from all you people out there. It's always fun. So thank you very much for downloading this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And we will talk to you next week.
MotoGP is a trademark of Arena Sports SL. The MotoGPOD podcast and MotoGPOD.com are not affiliated with Arena Sports SL. All of the trademarks are the property of their respective owners. MotoGPOD is not affiliated with any of them.